What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Hardcore Troubadour. My name is Brian Wallace.
And my name is Tyler Short. And when I got home today, there was a package on my porch from a Mr. Brian Wallace from Seasick Records
In Birmingham, Alabama,
and
shout out.
Birmingham Records. I'm gonna open this and find out what my friend got me. And
He's really
a
doing this live.
screwdriver record. Brian, you really shouldn't have.
We found it and I knew who had to have it.
Holy shit, no, this is cool. Dude, so this Enough band. Yeah. I used to play shows with this band all the time.
No shit.
Yeah, Nashville Straight Edge.
Hell yeah. What else is in there?
Okay, what is Karma Electra?
Oh my God. Dude, how many Karma Electra 7-inches are there in the world? This is Dan Drinkard, owner and of Seasick Records, his hardcore band from Memphis from a while back. I used to do guest spots with Karma Electra, and we would cover From Companionship to Competition by Kill Your Idols.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, they would have me come up and do a little guest vox on that. So Dan, if you're listening, this is amazing. He definitely threw a bunch of random shit in there he didn't tell me he was going to, which rules. Yeah, listen to that Karma Electra 7-inch. I have an affinity for it just because I was there, but I'd be curious what you think. I think you found the big boy.
Yes, I did. It's a Steve Earle Copperhead Road flat.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I guess is this what would come with like a single or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah,
It
it
was
says
like a.
featuring Copperhead Road, Johnny Come Lately, and Even When I'm Blue.
My understanding, it was either single or some kind of like promo
Yeah, this would I
around the
bet this
time.
is what went to like record stores. This is in
Yeah.
incredible shape. Holy
Yeah.
shit.
So when Dan found that, I was like, dude, if you want to sell it in your shop, I understand. If not, let's send it to Louisville, man, because I know who would love it.
Oh, dude, and he sent me a bunch of Seasick Records stickers, which one of these will go on the LDB record box that sits on the table. So thank you so much, man. Also, the Cannamen.
I
Any
don't
familiarity with this? I've never heard
know. I
this.
don't know that record. No, I don't
I'll
know
have
who
to
that
check this
is.
out. Dude, the Enough 7-inch I'm fucking stoked on because like another mistake used to play hella shows with Enough.
Oh, that's awesome.
So this is incredibly cool to me.
Dan is like one of those dude. I've known him for over 20 years now. Like a dear, dear friend. He comes to visit New York. We hang out. If you're ever in Birmingham for any reason, Furnace Fest, whatever, you got to go to Seasick Records. Like it is legit an excellent shop, and I wouldn't. I would be saying that even if Dan wasn't my friend.
I wish we were able to go to Furnace Fest this year.
Yeah, man. Me too. But Dan is one of those dudes, and there are more of them than you might think. And Tyler, you might have experienced this, who are they really love weed, but they also really love straight edge hardcore. So, in addition to inclination, basically, like Dan has an affinity for, going back to the 80s, pretty much every straight edge hardcore band, including stuff that even I don't like.
I mean, he sent me a Youth
But
Crew record from 2012 or whenever the fuck
yeah.
that shit came
So
out.
he knows more about straight edge hardcore than I do as a straight edge person. But he also, loves weed and booze. So shout out Dan.
Good for him. Well, dude, thank you so much. That is
Yeah.
so sweet. And that is so sweet of him to send me one of my old friends' records that I don't have that in. I haven't the other Enough 7-inch. I had the first one. I didn't even know they put out a second one. So
That rules.
that's fucking awesome to me.
Hell yeah.
And yeah. So Brian, how have you been enjoying the years of lead?
The do what now?
The years of lead that we're in again.
Oh, the years of lead. Yeah. Well, I think it's, not cool, and all my flags are at half mast, and
Yeah, thoughts and prayers to Charlie. I'm so sorry he ended up in Valhalla. I'm sure he was disappointed to think he was going to the gates to talk to Saint Peter, and he somehow ended up in Valhalla.
He's in
with a bunch
Valhalla.
of Vikings.
I saw a tweet the other day
I
that's
hate it for him.
somebody, you just reminded me, somebody was doing like, the classic genre of like Trump voice tweets. And it was like, because he's been having all these like health issues or whatever. It's like, look, he's either going to die tomorrow or he's going to live to be 120. There's no in between, right?
Regardless, I told you that the rest of the time that we're alive, people are going to think he is.
That's correct.
For the
That's
rest of the
correct.
time that we're alive,
Oh,
people will think
absolutely.
Trump is still alive. It's going to be awesome.
It'll be Elvis times a million.
JFK Jr.
Absolutely. So, but somebody was like, well, I died, folks, and I saw heaven. It was the, you're not going to believe this, folks. It was the Muslim one. Yeah. Muhammad, praise be upon him. We love the prophet, don't we, folks?
That's pretty good. Oh, that's pretty
Can
good.
you believe it, folks? So yeah, it's one thing I will say outside of all of it is the Tyler, I don't know if you've seen what the FBI put out as the supposed text exchange between the Charlie Kirk's assassin and his partner.
Is that the thing that's most recently come out?
Yeah, it's so laughably fake.
Is
Like
this the
not
thing where like he said like he hate like he was full of hate and I just had to end it or something like
That's
that?
correct. He's
Yeah, the kid
and
didn't say that.
it's literally like what's so funny is like it's written like a 45-year-old cop trying to be creative. You know what I mean? They would have gotten a more believable text exchange if they
If
had
he
fucking
had sent a meme, if he had sent the boom headshot meme, that would have been like
literally.
that would have been more recent. That would have been believable.
He's like referring to his car as his vehicle. He refers to his dad as his old man. I'm like, yeah, every 22-year-old fucking talks like that, man.
Dude.
And said the way he's describing, like, I had to leave my rifle in the woods. I bought like it was just everything about it is so off that I'm like, they could have fucking put in a chat GPT prompt and gotten a more realistic text
Yeah.
exchange
How does
back.
a Gen Z talk?
Yeah, then whatever, like, but I was just realizing, that's the thing. They don't try because they don't fucking have to try.
They're dabbing on us, dude. It's
Yeah,
awesome. Yeah.
exactly.
No, I mean, dude, I the most disconcerting thing I saw, and I'm sure like anybody who listens to our podcast knew we were gonna fucking talk about this because we haven't talked in a while. The most disconcerting thing I saw was the next day before we knew anything, before he was caught, before allegedly, before he was caught, I watched the Daily Caller had like a 2 minute like YouTube video about it. And it was a complete call for blood.
Wow.
Like it was a complete call for blood. And I felt sick because part of me is like afraid that like this shit is gonna get like weaponized against just like any like
Oh, 100%.
any criticism whatsoever. Anything can be Antifa because nothing is really Antifa.
Exactly.
And but I it dude, it made me think about fucking when you talked about that Substack piece I wrote a while ago, the Jakarta Method review. And I hate that like, and this is me being like I'll reach back and pat myself on the back if I could reach it. But this isn't me trying to do that, but like I do like see these like parallels with everything and like everything that they're like it's, but it's like, I mean, it's like Marx said, like, first is tragedy and second is farce. And like it's so farcical how many times they'll do this in like a Mean Girls trying to make fetch happen way,
Yeah.
where one of the things that, the author Vincent Bevins lays out in Jakarta Method as far as what happened in Indonesia and what happened in Brazil. And I want to say there might even be one that was in Guatemala as well, where there would be these real instances of like communist violence or like leftist like violence that like, maybe harmed a few dozen people or something, or like a barracks got taken over. And these things became points of reference and remembrance for years to come. as a way to continue to tamp down any oppositional thought or feeling. And it is so funny that they're trying to do this with this because it happened on September 10th,
That's right.
meaning that they are trying to create a holiday of retribution that will overshadow. If you want to believe it wasn't an inside job or something that like Saudi Arabia, corroborated with America, if you want to believe it was just a direct attack on US freedom, they will overshadow one of the biggest boons that this country ever got for people to give up their rights and freedoms in order to feel somewhat safe.
For that will overshadow it with, racist podcast man.
Yeah.
Like that's,
Being killed by a guy who did it because he thought it would be epic.
it's fascinating too. Like, well, and speaking of conspiracy theories, right? Because you're talking about 9/11, whatever. Thank God that without being asked, Benjamin Netanyahu immediately came out to let everybody know that Israel definitely didn't have anything to do with it. Okay. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, that's because everybody who's not guilty of anything, that's the first thing you do is go on Fox News and tell them without being asked, we didn't have anything to do with killing Charlie Kirk. Okay, bud, thanks. But yeah, what's been wild too is in that aftermath. I mean, again, talk about farcical and they're dabbing on us. They don't even have to try. Is like the people getting in trouble, meaning like, losing jobs, getting pulled off the air, et cetera. They're not people who are, actively like saying like,
Celebrate. They're
fuck
not
him. It's
dancing
good.
on
It's
his
good.
grave. They're not doing fucking Fortnite dances. They're not fucking.
Sometimes they're literally just quoting things he said verbatim, like literally just quoting back things that he said, in his life, that are on record for everybody to see. So yeah, it's a, it's, I'm running out of words, both for, how bleak things are looking, but then also how, when given a chance to show even one iota of a spine, the Democratic Party is just proving that there is no
No.
opposition in this country at all. And that is, if there was anything to hang a hat on, even if it was a small minority of opposition, but that actually had a seat in the halls of power, there'd be something there. But like, even our, even our farthest left senator just now got the backbone to call what's happening in Gaza a genocide.
Yeah.
And even then, he often refuses to say Israel. He'll just say Netanyahu, as if everything here was just because of that one man. And if
Yeah.
he went away, all these issues would go away, which is patently untrue.
Yeah, as if there aren't like nine other people further to the psychotic, like.
Exactly. So yeah, it's very jarring, and but also like the more that speech rights, freedoms, everything gets tamped down here, to your point too, like it's very strategic to say like, well, I'm labeling Antifa a terrorist organization, and like the chuckleheads on the liberal chuckleheads are like, that idiot, Antifa is not a real organization. And I'm like, brother, Donald Trump may not know that, but the people who work for them certainly know that. This is on
Yeah.
purpose. They know that. They know that actually makes it better because you don't actually have to prove any real affiliation with anything.
I mean, nobody has to do any, like, you don't have to prove anything. Like, people don't wait for a correction. People don't wait for, like, the fact that everybody who's been brought back after these, like, after being, like, forcibly deported and removed from this country, the fact that that's probably just going to happen to them again. Like, what do you mean? Like, that we have, like, I mean, it's concerning to me, like, seeing like things that are happening in like places like Nepal and like hoping that works. Like, I hope it works. I hope some colonel doesn't just decide to take over and they end up in a military dictatorship. But more or less, we are like willingly going along with that.
For sure.
Like, I don't know. I've had so many thoughts on things, and like, dude, mentioning the like Netanyahu coming out and saying like we certainly didn't do this. One of the things that has been on my mind is everybody trying to make sense of the fact, like, of what he wrote on his casings, and like how confusing it all is. Which I've heard someone like putting up the fact that the mainstream media doesn't have somebody like on like the TikTok beat or on like the gaming beat to like understand what's actually happening with like young people, that like when these things happen, they just have no frame of reference to understand like what's going on. I mean, I hardly do.
But yeah, just some basic research to understand like Groiper meme language and shit like that,
Yeah.
right?
And even to the fact that like maybe this kid wasn't a groiper and was just like a geek. Just a geek. Like, that's it. That's the end of it. Like, he doesn't have to, you n none of this is none of this needs to make any sense,
Of
because
course
nothing
not.
makes any sense.
And you certainly do not have to have like a coherent political ideology, like where you check all the boxes down one column to fucking hate somebody like Charlie Kirk.
Yeah. No, I mean,
You know, like,
it's the football stadium booing his face. They might just be sick of fucking seeing him. Because I mean, this is the dude who pops up on your TikTok, he pops up on your YouTube algorithm, he's always being rude and snarky to people. Like, he
condescending to even people who are trying to engage him in good faith.
yes, like it's not a long walk to figure out like why people would be celebrating, or why people would just not give a fuck that this guy died. I mean, like, do I think he should have been shot? No. Do I think he should have been punched in the face every single day of his life? Yes.
Of
Yes,
course.
absolutely. But then again, do I think I should be punched in the face every now and then? Yes, absolutely. Like, and I'm not afraid of that either. Like, I had to remove a kid from being around people at the skate park show. Haywire played our downtown skate park, a generator show last night.
Oh, hell
Free
yeah.
show, 5 hours notice, like 300 or 400 kids there.
Dude, that rules.
Yeah, Haywire, Drain, Weapon X, and Mean Mugged, our children, they covered Carry On. It was fantastic.
Hell yeah.
But I had to remove a kid from being way too drunk around a bunch of people. And I just hugged him, and I walked his ass to away from the crowd. And while I was doing it, my thought was, this kid could punch me, he could hit me, and he probably has some friends here. And if he hits me, I can eat that. I can eat a punch from this kid. I'm not trying to lead to him getting jumped, or lead to all of his friends getting their asses kicked because they don't realize what's going to happen if they try to jump in against me, because of how many people are here who are going to try to come to my aid when I don't want it. Like, I had to yell at a kid to get the kid out of a headlock. I was like, "Get your arms off of him right now." I was like, I've got this. And then I gave him to his boys. I said, "Here he is. Deal with your boy." Like, I'm sorry, at any point in time, someone in the economic structure of Turning Point USA, of his donors, could have got their boy. They could have said, "Hey, Charlie, maybe you don't be so public. Maybe you don't do this in this world right now, where random acts of violence are becoming even more prevalent. Maybe you have a little bit of an idea of like, don't do this outside."
I mean,
Like, I'm sorry, but there's like a lot of things. Someone could have got their boy.
of course, but he spent the last decade plus like running his mouth with what felt like zero consequences.
Yeah,
So,
complete impunity. Like, and making bank doing it. Like, that's the thing. Like, when we were texting about it, I was like, "Man, dude, I can't feel bad for him. He fucking died doing what he loved, being paid to be racist."
Being paid to be racist and taunt college kids.
Yeah, like that's we should be so lucky. I want to die moshing. Like, I'm sorry. Like, that sounds awesome.
I just, I can't look. If people want to love Charlie Kirk, they can, but like, if we're not gonna fly flags at half mast for Dimebag, then I don't see why this guy deserves it.
Yeah, no. And one of the things I saw someone talking about, like, Like as far as like the meme killing and writing on your casings and trying to like make sense, like, well, what kind of person would why do these people have to like write on their weapons? Like what does it say about a person to do this? And I'm like in my head thinking about like all the senators signing bombs to Israel, and I'm like, well, the example we wrote on the A-bomb.
They don't make the connection at
We
all.
wrote on the bombs we dropped on Japan. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, this is a national pastime. This is a national pastime in this country.
Of course. And I mean, there's something there too that speaks to this, you know, very American but now internationalized, like the disconnect between state and systemic violence versus an individual act of violence, right? And that's why we're at a point where it's like people will not bat an eye at a bomb being dropped and all the carnage and destruction that that causes to everything and everyone and innocent people and all that. But like there's something so visceral about like one person, one gun, one bullet, one fist, one face. You know what I mean? It's so like this the same society that freaked out about Will Smith slapping Chris Rock is gonna, you know, not bat an eye when politicians sign bombs that literally kill entire families. You know what I mean? And it's why it's interesting too, like, you know, because the people, I'm thinking again about like Israeli soldiers recently, right? Like there were more hearings in the Knesset where the ground forces, you know, those kids are coming back totally fucked. Right? Like fucked in the head, PTSD, like nightmares, like all the shit, right? And I'm not gonna use this to be, oh, they deserve it. I'm like, well, they went, and this is a consequence of things that they did. But it's fascinating to be like, you know, the person operating the drone isn't up at night having nightmares. It's the person who was like in the tank or like going into the building or that kind of thing, right? Even though the person operating the drone has actually killed a hell of a lot more people.
Yeah, I mean it's the Arrested Development. It's Buster Bluth fucking flying the drone and just not even thinking that he's actually.
But there's again, so it's like there's something there about we're so divorced from that level of the level of state violence that's wrought by technology because we're able to do that with button pushes where what on that scale, something that is so much more minuscule, and like I said, not even an assassination, even just like some fisticuffs, people, they will unironically clutch their pearls at that while not being fazed at all by bombs turning children into blood and guts, you know? So it's hard to find any common ground with these people because it's like, I think, you know, they're freaking out about what he wrote on the bullet casings, and they sincerely are. They don't see at all the disconnect between, like, you know, fucking, you know, like Nikki Haley writing on a bomb. You know what
Yeah,
I
it's
mean?
like
Like, I
I don't
don't.
know. It's just it's all like such learned behavior, and I do like wonder. Like, I mean, I have. Did you see the video?
Of course.
I didn't mean to. I just got on Twitter, and it was the third thing I saw.
Yeah, Chad Leddy had that shit in my inbox ASAP. Graphic, you
I
know,
got
like.
sent stills of it. I made a really horrible joke to you. That I won't make on the podcast, but I got sent stills of it, and then after seeing that, I was like, I don't need to see the rest of it. And then, of course, I went on Twitter, and within 20 seconds, it was served to me with no warning,
No warning,
no
no
like this is
filter.
graphic content or whatever.
That's part of the reason that it's made such an uproar, right? Is that it's not just a thing that happened, but it's a thing that, you know, it has been visible from many, many angles. And like all I remember thinking, in addition to being like, holy shit, was like, oh, this person knows how to shoot. You know, like that they knew
Yeah,
what
I
they
mean,
were
and it was
like,
also
that's it.
like, I mean, I was very like, and the thing is, like, we're all so susceptible to these, like the way everyone was wanting to jacket this kid as their, whatever they wanted it to be. And I was very susceptible to the holy shit, one shot. Like, this had to have been a professional. And it's like, no, just a hobby. Kid who's
Yeah.
pretty good at shooting.
Any kid who's
And
like
had a
a oh.
perfect,
Yeah.
point to set up
Yeah.
and do it. Like, I don't
Anybody
know.
who
Like,
had been a hunter could have.
I definitely don't condone any of the like really bad taste jokes and people like dunking in the situation, but also I'm not mad at anybody for it because
Yeah. I don't.
everybody's dealing with this in the same way. And also, like, humor and joking about things is how we humans cope with the fact that we're all gonna die.
Absolutely. Like I'm not going to shame anybody for something like that. I think for me it's more just like a very clear-eyed like, "Hey, you live by the sword, you die by the sword, man."
Yeah.
Like a little bit of like
And you end up in Valhalla
yeah,
somehow.
right. You put a lot of hate and violence and targets on people's back in the world, and somebody had enough. I'm not saying that was justified one way or another, but I am saying like, yeah, I see your actions have consequences, man. That's
Before we move on from this, I do want the funniest thing about the whole thing. And it sucks that it's getting Jimmy Kimmel fucking fired.
no.
Trump's reaction to being asked how he was holding up
Oh
is
my
an
God.
all-time moment.
The
Is an all-time
ballroom.
moment.
He's just what an incredible response. So somebody asked him directly, "How are you
How are
holding
you
up?"
holding up? Give just the most underhand. I've never seen a more underhand pitch
Yeah.
to somebody to get to let them to let them truly appeal to the hearts and minds
Yeah.
of a nation right now that is like scared on edge. Also, the amount of people who hate him, who like could look at this one moment where like he's lost someone who like
Yeah.
he knew.
Right.
He
And
knew.
he said was a good friend. Like,
Yeah, he said was yeah, he like it was just days before he was basically making the same video I watched the Daily Caller make,
yeah.
calling for blood and retribution. Just a few days later, I think pretty good.
I think pretty good. And then immediately started talking about the ballroom, the
The trucks
trucks,
over there. You see what
every.
they're doing?
It's going to be the most beautiful ballroom you've ever seen. And that's what's so perfect. And like nobody that still, supports or gives a shit about this guy would ever stop to think or have the wherewithal or self-awareness to think like, "Oh, that's in bad taste." 'Cause it's like, think about this. Not only how are you holding up, I think pretty good. Check out the big gaudy ballroom that I'm spending all of your money on. Then goes to play golf instead of going to the funeral service. Then
I don't think I knew that. I didn't know that that happened. That's amazing. Holy shit.
immediately gets on a plane to go play dress up in England and ride in a big fancy carriage with the king. Like
Dude,
that.
speaking of King, okay. Do you know what the MAGA people, like, well, some of the, well, not the MAGA people, what some of the QAnon people refer to Trump as? Have you ever
No.
heard the term geodis?
No, and I'm kind of glad I haven't, but please enlighten me.
God Emperor of the United States.
Oh, like POTUS, but Geodis, Jesus
Geodis is a
Christ.
real thing, is a real thing. They refer to him as Geodis. And it's so funny. It's so funny that all these hyper masculine,
Yeah.
like homophobic, transphobic people that love this guy so much that they are willing to give up what illusion of democracy we have, what illusion of Republican rule that we have that is self-governing, that is at all like a representation of the people, to move towards America being under monarchical rule.
Yeah.
And it ain't a king dog, it's a fucking queen.
That's what I love,
We've got
dude.
a queen.
We've got a queen. He loves to gossip. He loves balls. He
He's got
loves
strong feelings on Kristen Stewart.
pageants. He is still thinking about a time that Rosie O'Donnell was very rude to him at an award show 25 years ago. He loves to dish. He like th that's the thing. Like, we all know that like subconsciously they want a big strong daddy to protect them. Like that's the strong man thing. But that's what's so funny is that the man that they have chosen to like project all their homoerotic, hyper-masculine fantasies onto is the softest motherfucker in the world, and doesn't pretend to be otherwise. He
No.
talks tough, but he's also like, they're like, ha ha ha, Mr. Trump, and he's like, yeah. So we well, I have very strong opinions on what type of molding goes into my ballroom, and how that. And like I said, he couldn't wait. He's making his second state visit to the UK just so he could have like princess fantasy visit, because the last time they had to talk some business.
Yeah.
This time he's not going to have to worry about any of that bullshit. This time he gets to ride in a carriage and go to a state dinner and like sit next to the king
I
and
love
do
that
the.
you can't help but do that with your hand while you're talking
I
in this
mean,
audio.
he is so fabulous. The one last thing that it reminds me of, because I mean, Kash Patel, Long Island's own Kash Patel, continues to humiliate himself, in so many different ways. One of the funniest posts that I saw, speaking of the bullet casings, was like, the shooter supposedly wrote on one, if you're reading this, you're gay. And it was like Kash Patel picking it up and reading it. And then it says, if you're reading this, you're gay. And then dropping it in horror.
They on Chapo Trap House this week, they said, I wonder if any cops had a touching fentanyl reaction to seeing that bullet
Just immediate seizures, panic attacks on the ground. It
Yeah.
rules.
It's just they were like six cops killed themselves in Utah because they touched this bullet casing.
If
It
only.
was pretty amazing watching the whether that was like chief of police or whoever that was, like doing the press for the
Yeah.
investigation, having to read that on TV. Like, I don't think like they're truly running out of ideas for the season of America, but I'm glad they're taking swings.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm glad
man.
they're taking swings. I'm glad they're getting this is like Lynchian, I would say.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah. I
Yeah.
can't wait for the what's the thing at the end of Twin Peaks, the Red Lodge.
Yeah.
Or is it the Black Lodge? The
The
Black
Black
Lodge
Lodge, the
with
Black Lodge.
the red curtains, yeah.
Shout out. Shout out to the Black Lodge video store in Memphis, Tennessee, named after that. Should we talk about Steve?
Yeah, we can
Speaking
talk about Steve.
of Lynchian, not really.
Steve
So
did a few covers. We missed one of them, a Neil Young cover that Brian has reported is not bad.
it's not bad. He covers "Long May You Run," and it's part of a record of Neil Young covers that there are a few notable artists on. Friends, it is worth checking out if you like Neil Young and you like Steve Earle. It's pretty fun. That's, it won't change your life, but it's a good listen.
Well, on the other end of that spectrum, he did a cover for a Tom Petty covers record, a country music tribute to Tom Petty, and he did "You're So Bad." And I think Steve Earle finally found a song that is not enhanced by fiddle.
Yeah, so Tyler, I'm gonna kind of surprise you with this, right? Because
You like it?
well, my experience with this song is following a Tyler Short type of arc, meaning
You
that
came around on this one?
my first several listens, I was like, come on, man. And now, you know what I think does enhance it? The mandolin. It's up really high in the mix if you listen with headphones, like to the point where it's noticeable. I can, even if you're not like a music dork or studio nerd, I can be like, they really have the mandolin high up in the mix, just in your right side, if you're listening to it in stereo. I love the mandolin part. And then
Okay.
that kind of has made me come around to the rest of the song. Do I think it's a good cover? No. But I think at first I thought it was like really bad. And now I'm like, this is interesting.
I have theories on this.
Tell me.
Do we think he picked this because it's a low energy song vocally?
That's interesting. I hadn't considered that. 'Cause yeah,
Because I.
it is a strange choice given Petty's like entire catalog, and I'm sure there were a lot of negotiations about who gets to do what song, right?
Well, and I was looking at this track list, and it's really like there's some deep cut covers that like it truly looks like it people just picked things they were fans of.
Yeah.
So I am curious because I don't even really like this Tom Petty song.
Yeah, it's not one of the best.
And I do think that a more like ripping Tom Petty song would have been challenging for Steve.
Yeah, like imagine him doing Running Down a Dream or something like that. Yeah.
You know what? I think he could actually maybe even pull off Running Down a Dream, but I'm thinking about like any of the songs where he's like belting, like You Wreck Me.
Like
You
you,
think
yeah.
he could not do You Wreck Me?
Not anymore. No.
Steve can't belt like that. He's way too gravelly.
Yeah.
So like a more like ripping cover would have maybe given him way more opportunities for failure.
That's a good point.
And this song is kind of just like,
It plods.
yes, it doesn't explode ever.
No, it doesn't.
And I part of me was wondering if like maybe he drew a short straw, but then when I looked up the track list, it is there are just some songs on here that I'm like, huh, I don't even know what that song is.
Fascinating.
And we did close to 4 hours talking about Tom Petty.
Well, that's true. I will say I need to go through and listen to this. I'm so glad Dolly Parton gets to do Southern accents. But yeah, the Margo Price song, the one she covers, I don't even know that one. Ways to Be
Yeah,
Wicked.
I don't know the one that Chris Stapleton does too. I should have known it.
Yeah, the opener. Huh.
Who is Thomas Rhett? I'm curious about his Wildflowers cover because I love that song.
Thomas Rhett is the he's popular. He's a country singer. He's a Nashville
Okay.
guy. He's a Nashville guy, but he's been out for a while. Like he's toured with like Jason Aldean and Lady Antebellum and stuff like that. So
I
he's
mean, he
a
does Here Comes My Girl as well, and I'm
Yeah.
curious about that. I love that we're just going to speculate wildly on these,
Yes.
because we didn't do the hard research of tracking down each one of these individual songs, because it's not on streaming as an album.
Yeah, it's just individual
I
tracks,
hate
right?
when shit like that happens.
I hate it too. What's interesting as well is I think I would have picked, if I could do a cover, I would have picked Breakdown and
Put a
Ryan.
breakdown in
That'd be sick.
it.
Ryan Hurd got to do Breakdown. I don't know who that is. Apparently he's a songwriter. Writing number one singles for Blake Shelton and Luke Bryan. So he's like a Nashville behind the scenes dude, and he got to do the Breakdown cover.
Okay.
But yeah, as I'm looking at the track list too, and I'm thinking again about where Steve is, like Steve couldn't do Free Fallin'.
No.
Steve couldn't do I Need to Know. At least not anymore. There might have been a time in Steve's career when he could have really rocked one of those, but I'm not sure. Dierks Bentley doing American Girl? Come on.
Who the fuck's Dierks Bentley?
Again, another like, we're like, who the fuck is Dierks Bentley? And he's sold 40 million records.
I'm really interested in this Willie Nelson Angel Dream number 2 cover, because I love that song on the She's the One
Yeah, that's awesome.
soundtrack.
And George Strait does You Wreck Me Live.
Dude, that
Interesting.
sounds
I got
badass,
it.
honestly.
Yeah,
That
I'd
sounds
be
fucking
into that.
badass.
That song had become my like, it's so funny, like the way things evolve. I'm not playing like live with a band anymore, but if anybody hands me a guitar nowadays or I pick one up no matter what, dun, 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 that's the first thing I do every time is I play the opening chords from You Wreck Me. It's just that perfect of a like rock song.
I feel like I feel like a song Steve could have pulled off okay, even though it does have a little bit of a vocal challenge in it, but I think he could have done it cool. I think Mary Jane's Last Dance would have been cool for Steve.
I could totally hear Steve doing that. Oh my, my. Oh hell yes.
Yes, because also he could have made it weirder too.
Oh, he could have made that weird. I'm surprised he didn't pick Don't Come Around Here No More. He would have just done a fucking weird like
Yeah,
drum
that would
loop
have,
on that.
dude.
Like,
That would have ripped too.
yeah.
He could have put that weird vocal effect that he
Oh, he
that
loves
you
that
love
shit.
when he does
My favorite.
your favorite thing. I am curious about this Marty Stewart I Need to Know cover because Marty Stewart is so fucking old.
I know, and that's a rocker, man.
Yeah, that's
Like,
crazy.
baby, I need to know. Like, yeah,
Yeah.
that's, you got to belt some lines in that one too. All right, well, so now that we've listened to the one song from Steve, I'm curious about this, but to your point, it's interesting, Tyler, like knowing that, like, hey, I'm not gonna buy this record,
Nope.
and in the age of streaming things, like I don't. Why can't they just put the whole thing up as one
I'm
album so
not
I
going to
could
seek them
listen
all
to it?
out
Yeah,
individually,
to
though,
have to
no.
like look up every one individually. That's just not, I'm not doing it, Big Machine Records. So figure that out.
Want to move on to this other song, which I think we're going to be on opposite ends of this one as well.
You think so?
Yeah, I kind of liked it.
All right. So he also.
I said I think I hate the Tom Petty cover so much that I don't mind this element.
You know what? Yeah, I do think we're the opposite because, like, I like the Petty cover better than this. Can I just read? I'll just read you verbatim what I wrote after many, many listens to this. And by the way, we're talking about "I Fought the Law," Steve doing this Clash cover. I literally wrote, "Steve can do what he wants. He long ago earned that right. But this is just corny." On about the 15th listen, what I'll give it credit for, I think the pedal steel solo is cool. I think the
Yeah, I think
addition of
that part's
that
kind of
in
cool.
there is cool, but other than that, I'm like, why does this exist?
I think they pull off the like snare stutter part in it. I really like that part of it. That part gets me in the original, so like that part gets me in this as well. I do think it would have ripped if he did an actually good Joe Strummer song like Rudy Can't Fail or Train in Vain, though.
There's so many songs he could do.
At least if those two songs like failed miserably, they would be
They'd
hilarious.
be, you know what else he could do? I
This
mean,
isn't even funny.
so it's the fall, which means your boy is back in his old people rec league co-ed softball team.
Hell yeah.
We're 2-0, by the way. No big deal.
Crushing.
You got to pick new, you don't have to, you could use the same, but I pick new walk-up music every season based on how I'm feeling. I'm coming out to I'm So Bored with the USA by The Clash.
That's awesome.
And I think I would like to hear Steve Earle do that song.
That would be awesome. That would have
Yeah.
ripped.
Yeah. So
That's
anyway.
on Give Him Enough Rope, isn't it?
No, it's on the first record, the
Oh, the
self-titled.
subtitle? Okay.
Yeah. It's that I was struggling between that and career opportunities, but with the job now it doesn't hit as hard. You know who does a good cover of Career Opportunities? Fucking Dropkick Murphys.
Dude,
Yeah.
Dropkick Murphys, did you see the music video that they put out recently where like all the people are
No,
getting abducted?
I didn't, but
It's like different. I mean, it's all people of different walks of life, like getting notices from the government saying like their social security has been like taken away and like different things like that. And then like they're just getting like nabbed up and like thrown in vans, like everybody is. COA is in it.
okay,
He's
hell yeah.
bartending. And he turns around to the bar and then he turns back around and all of the bar patrons have been abducted. And then he's like trying to make sense of it and then he gets abducted. It is one of the cutest, most like earnest songs like by a bunch of old guys
Yeah.
I've seen in a while. It is precious.
I'm going to check it out. I mean, I was sh Ken Casey, I feel like, basically plays shows now just to talk shit on Trump on stage.
Seems
Like,
like
that
it.
seems like, you know what I mean? Like, that's half the set is just him, and like kind of like threatening to beat the shit out of any MAGA people in the crowd. You know what I mean? And it's sort of like there's just something, it's you it's just nice to have like a Boston tough guy like fucking, bringing that kind of visibility. Because I will say again, it's like at the end, it's the kind of thing that's easy to go like that's corny or dunk on it or whatever. But like, there's normies at the Dropkick Murphys show.
Yeah.
You know what I
Well,
mean?
and
And
it's, I
so
mean, it's
yeah.
important also that like you see like a tough guy who like has been in a fist fight have these opinions when that usually get
Yes.
attributed to like blue hairs and like.
Exactly. So when you've got Ken Casey and COA in the video, you know what I mean? Like, Exactly. I mean, not that the
Yeah,
average
I'm not going to tell
person
you
will
what
know.
COA texted me when I asked him what his thoughts were on
I was about to
the
say, not that a
Charlie
normie watching a Dropkick Murphys video necessarily knows who Colin is, but like the point stands. You know what I
Kirk.
mean? Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember if we've talked about this, but have you seen that viral video of the guy in the Trump shirt, and he asks him to check the tag and tell him where it's made,
Yes, I have.
and it's like made in like Taiwan or something. And he's like, if he's like, if that's not made in America, I'll give you a Dropkick Murphy shirt, but you have to take that shirt off right now.
Yeah.
And he does.
It, I mean, there you go. Sometimes shame works. Put people on the spot.
Oh man, I'm curious though with like the Kimmel thing and like how outspoken so many people are that have felt like emboldened by this First Amendment thing that we had.
Yeah.
That I am curious, like, because I definitely said something crazy in Alabama at our last show, and like I want to think our world is so small that it will never matter, but I've definitely called for lots of violence
Yeah.
on stage.
You know,
And
man.
I know we turned off a listener once by laughing about and making jokes about a healthcare CEO being killed. And I'm sorry that you were turned off by
I
that.
mean, if they're still here, then, you know, credit to you for sticking around. But yeah, I don't know, man. It's hard to say, right? Because like I like to take this tact of like, you fuckers. Yeah, come get me. You know what I mean? And but then it's like they might.
Yeah.
You know, and I think when you've gotten I think what is almost I mean, this is how it's I guess it's always worked throughout all these historical examples that we've been citing, right? Is it's like, yeah, you've got the fucking masked up jackboot representatives of the state that are coming and kidnapping people, abducting people, inflicting violence on people. But the thing that almost like gets me, I don't expect anything out of them. They're robots to me, right? The thing that's getting me is like the fucking normie ass neighbors who are like, so apparently now, like the tough guy MAGA thing to do is to find out where people work and call their employer and get them fired. I was like, are you not the same people that rambled about cancel culture and Karens and all this stuff? And oh, you were just jealous because you wanted to do it.
Yeah,
It
that's
wasn't
it.
that you thought it was a bad thing. You just wanted to be able to do it to your enemies,
They want
right?
to be cool so bad.
I know, fuck.
And you're just not going to be cool, man. You're just not going to be cool. Like what's cool is like love.
Yes.
And like all that gay shit.
Preach it, Tyler.
That's so cool.
What's cool is
Giving a shit
love.
about things, giving a shit about people, and like wanting everyone to like wanting us all to be able to be together as much as possible and not be pulled apart. Meanwhile, all of these people's success hinges on them keeping people
Yeah.
away from their families, at their jobs, away from their, you know, away from their partners, away from their kids, like keeping them
100%.
away and making money for other people
Yes.
who get to do whatever they want, who get to avoid their kids intentionally.
100%. And it's like, well, it's obviously love and people being fucking humans together on this planet is the coolest thing. But I was always thinking like I'd be relieved even if like just one of these fuckers actually had any consistency at all in their
No.
political ideology that could be like
I mean, there's like
that.
every one of these people who is like was calling for people to be, you know, fired. You just it, like every post you see of that, someone has quote tweeted them saying the opposite.
Exactly. You
So
know,
it's just
or
it's
made jokes about killing people or made jokes about people dying. And instead of being like, fair play, they got our guy. I'm pissed off, but like, haha, that's a funny joke. Like, cause fuck your feelings and blah, blah, blah. Instead, it's like, no, I'm now hysterical and I am literally making a list of anybody, not just that said a mean thing about my special podcast boy, but that just didn't properly mourn my special podcast boy. You know, like
Yeah, I mean,
it.
dude, like when we were having, I mean, it was all anybody talked about at work the next day, like to
Sure.
the point where it was like, fuck, we really shouldn't be talking about this because we're all finding out way more about each other
Oh,
than
I
we
bet.
probably should be finding out. But anybody I talked to about it who like knew how I would probably feel about it were like a little shocked at the fact that I wasn't like dancing on his grave,
Yeah.
but also the lack of empathy and sympathy I was having for his family.
Yeah.
Because in my head, that person who espoused those views and those thoughts and those feelings, I for till I saw Erica Trump or Erica Trump, Erica Kirk's till I saw Erica Kirk's address, and now I realize she's just as much of a dead-eyed psycho.
And on the grift, yeah.
In order to do that less than 48 hours after your husband was shot, like brutally, at something you were present at, like the fact that you're not even in mourning, you're wearing all white, like
Yeah.
that is so weird and so strange. But all that sympathy for her evaporated. She's just as dead-eyed and evil as he was.
Yes.
But when I was talking to I mean, I've got plenty of like borderline, like, you know, like they agree with me on most anything, but if they're not talking to me, they're probably feeling a lot of the same things that we're all ingrained to feel as Americans. Like, you know, that poor person just really needs to, you know, get it together. That drug addict really needs to just like get clean. Like all these different things, like that you, all these simple ideas for complicated situations. When anybody who said like something about his kids, I would say, well, man, what if one of his kids is gay?
Yeah.
You don't know that, but you don't know they won't be.
Right.
And what's that life like? What's that life under that tyranny, under that lack of acceptance? And that's the thing, like it's not a parent's job to make a child into who the parent wants to be. It's a parent's job to find out who their kid is.
That's right. And it just it also made me think you're 100% spot on here, Tyler. And I'm also like, it's also like whose kids matter again? You know what I mean? Like who are the people where
Exactly.
it's like they can immediately turn to, well, even if you didn't like what he said, but he has kids. But I'm like, and then what about all these people that like never fucked with anybody or, you know, like
What if all,
punched
what about
down
all
at
these kids who
anybody?
got what about all these kids who got shot in schools?
And literally some of them in Colorado the same fucking day.
Same day, yeah.
And we acknowledge that we're not talking about it, but it's like we're not talking. I'd have you got to search really
And
hard to
you
find
can
anything
look
about
and
it.
you look and it's a short walk for that clip of there are going to be casualties.
Yep.
There are going to be repercussions for having the Second Amendment, and it's worth it.
And it's worth it. Well, bud, you got what you wanted.
Yeah,
Like
man.
that's
It's
a
just,
repercussion of it.
and that's the
It,
simplest fucking point
yeah.
that everybody's made, but like it just doesn't get any more like perfect than his assassination overshadowing a fucking school
A
shooting.
fucking school shooting, and the quote, you know, the quotes about he considers the cost worth it, the quote about how he thinks empathy is an invention
Yeah.
of the left. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
A new age idea that's
new
caused a
age,
lot of harm.
new age idea, right? Like it's you know, so it's all there, but it is like that's the thing. I'm not celebrating, not because I don't think he deserved it or anything like that. I'm not celebrating because it doesn't help us.
No.
Like
And
not
also,
have
like these things are inevitable. It was inevitably going to happen to It was inevitably going to happen to one of these people
It
who
was going
is
to be
so divisive and so public facing.
him or Shapiro or one
Yeah.
of these assholes.
It
Yeah,
was going to
yeah.
happen to one of them. And for the reason, I think it makes even more sense that it wasn't political. It wasn't anything more than just, wouldn't it be epic? Wouldn't it be epic if I did this?
And you know what? It kind of was.
It kind of was.
If that's
I can I unfortunately it's one of those things that is going to be locked in my brain for the rest of my life
Yeah.
is seeing that. Like I can see Trey Gares moshing for the first time. I can see Charlie Kirk getting shot in the throat. I'm blanking on any other vivid visceral memories that I've got right now that I can just relive, and
Yeah.
I hate that that's taking up space in my brain now.
It does. I mean, it's it is taking up a lot of space. Everyone who has seen it, absolutely. I mean, it's we like it should never be easy to watch a person die.
No.
You know, if it is like there's something in you got, you know, like some receptor got muted or fucked up. And I know there's a lot of people like that and have been in various circumstances, either because they've been through intense violence and trauma themselves, or just because they're so disconnected from like the screens, the everything else has disconnected us so much from like what it feels like to have somebody else's blood on you. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? Like, so that's why, even again, to me, like, deserve doesn't deserve. That's not the question I'm asking at all. It's much more about like, yeah, it having this annoying fucker not around anymore doesn't improve the lives of the people I care about materially, and it gives justification, as we're seeing right
To
now.
make all of our lives way worse.
Exactly. So, you know, his that they will gladly use, you know, podcast boy as a martyr, to serve that greater cause of repression, and they got to work immediately on it. You know what I mean? To your point, not just about his wife, but about the others in
J.D. Vance
power,
replacing him.
replaced him immediately and began calling out American institutions by name. There is one foundation that he named that a good friend of mine works in New York City. And I'm immediately texting them, being like, what's security like over there? You know, like, because that's right. Like, when the fucking vice president is naming the place where you work as a, you know, potentially like a source of terrorism or something like that, like, it's really awful. I mean, it's bleak. Bleak is the word I come to a lot, because, you know, awful shit's happening all the time, but it feels bleak when you're like, God, this is gonna get a lot worse before it can even begin to get remotely better.
Yeah, and and even like shit like that, like it sucks. Like I don't know if it'll work, 'cause I don't know if people respect J.D. Vance at all. I don't know if people who I don't know if the base still looks at him as like the chicken shit that he is, like that he would never put himself in danger the way he would put other people in danger.
For sure.
Like, so I'm curious 'cause he's got no riz.
He's
I'm curious if he can, like, no matter how much he wants to tell, like, his grandma that, like, he's ready to sit in the big, put on his. Oh man, Ashton said this the other day. We were talking. She tried to say, "Put on your big boy pants," and she said, "Put on your big pants." And it just made me think about how everybody's wearing big pants now. I'm wearing big pants now. But it
Are
just
you?
makes me think about
Okay.
you just gotta put on your big pants
Listen,
sometimes.
man, when I go to a show, I can tell immediately how old anybody is, not seeing their face or anything. I can just look at the relative size and taper of the pants and immediately, like, you know, it's like I out myself as old by wearing pants that fit
Yeah,
immediately.
well, I mean, you won't catch me in some pants that fit. I'm wearing the big pants
But
now.
what's funny is too, it's like I out myself as old, even though what they're wearing is biting the style that I had
That
when I was
you
a
had, yeah.
teenager. You know what I mean? I'm
You
like,
just go back, man.
I guess. I don't know. I
Just
don't.
go back, start wearing the big pants again.
I just.
They're so comfy.
Comfy, yes, but it's like, it's not when my pants are like form fitting, it's not like they're tight around the waist. They just fit. Big pants can still, like, the thing that always gets me about it, man, is like, if it's raining and your pants are too big, fuck.
All my big pants are the cinch at the bottom pants.
They gotta be, man.
I gotta
Because,
be.
like, I just think all the time about Ty, did I ever tell you about the first time I smoked weed?
I don't think so.
Let me tell you something. It was at a Sponge and Stabbing Westward show at the Mid-South Fair in Memphis, Tennessee. This was in 1995. I was in 7th grade, and it rained. So, first of all, like, getting high, we went to the fair that night because fucking Sponge and Stabbing Westward rule. Okay. And they did. It was a great show. But what the move was, you know, whichever of your friend had skunky weed or whatever, you get on the Ferris wheel. Because then once you get up there, and up there, like, you know, nobody's up there with you, you're alone. And so we did several rotations on the Ferris wheel, smoking the shit weed. And then during Stabbing Westward set, It was like torrential downpour. And we were like, I was high, I was push pitting, and my pants were like soaking wet and like dragging underneath
Shoes, yes.
my fucking airwalks or whatever I was
So
wearing
tight,
then.
yes.
And it was well before I was into hardcore or anything like that. I was just soured on it, like I am deeply uncomfortable right now and I don't want to feel this way again. So I got pants that fit, and
Can't stop smoking weed.
which the thing is, yeah, I did not, I might have done it like two more times in my life before I knew that that wasn't for me. Let me tell you something. One thing you mentioning JD Vance having no riz, and then there's one more Steve related thing that I want us to talk about before we sign off for the night.
Oh yeah, we got one more Steve related thing to talk about.
I really, really, really do believe though, right? Like when Mr. Trump leaves this earth,
When he
obviously
goes to Valhalla.
when he goes to Valhalla, brother, the things that got him into power in the first place, you know, all the racism, the grift, the xenophobia, the misplaced rage, all the things that got him to where he is will still exist. It's not like they'll go away when he dies, right? But the cult of personality will immediately go away. There is no one filling those shoes.
Yeah.
There is no, there is
There's no
n
Geodas.
there's no nobody's exactly nobody's going to be wearing a fucking JD Vance hat around.
People are gonna
Nobody,
try.
people are going to try, but
Ted Cruz will try.
it's not going to take off. The same reason that like a Ted Cruz could never have that. It's not going to be one of his kids. They've had every attempt and they fucking, there's nobody like, that's what I, nobody's as good at this as he is.
Yeah.
And thank God. You know what I mean? Like, so I really do think that even though, yeah, I'm not pretending like, oh, all of our problems are going to be solved on the day he finally departs this earth, I do think that there is a certain element that has made this extra, extra harsh, you know, for the past 10 years plus, that just goes back to not paying any attention at all,
Yeah,
you
not
know?
having any media that can correctly cover
Yeah.
what the fringes of society that have. I mean, you look at Charlie Kirk's following, his audience, fucking massive. You look at Nick Fuentes's audience, fucking massive.
Yeah.
There is no exploration, no search for understanding for how these things appeal to people,
Yeah.
or any attempt at counter messaging
Yes.
to tell the actual truth, because to tell the actual truth would call into question the sponsors and donors that give money and support all of them.
Absolutely. Spot on.
It's so shitty. You want to listen to this techno shit?
Yeah. So, folks, when we were getting ready for this episode, you know, we knew we were going to talk about some of the covers that Steve's been doing. Well, there is a, what I didn't know existed, but learned of literally just today, is that a Dutch DJ named Moti, who I had never heard of, but millions and millions of people the world over have, and that's how out of touch with the mainstream that I am and that we are, had done you know, sort of an officially licensed remix of Copperhead Road. Tyler, I believe, is listening to this mix for the first time as we speak.
1.9 million listeners this guy has.
Yeah. So, Tyler, you said you want to listen to this live for the
Yeah,
first
I'm
time.
listening to it right now.
Folks,
Oh, I get what you're saying. It is doing everything you expect it to do.
yeah, it's not even, it's so bad. You know, and I'll say this, I'm not a fan of electronic music, right? I feel that all electronic music is spiritually Israeli. That's why it's kind of always been a turnoff for me. One of the things, though, about it is like I've seen enough DJs to know when a DJ's at least being creative or doing something cool. This is like AI did it.
Oh
Like,
no, this kind of sucks ass.
it
I thought I was
sucks
going to do something
ass.
way tighter a second ago.
Yeah, but it's basically like every trope of dance music that you could possibly think of, now just apply them to Copperhead Road. So in addition to being like, it sucks, I'm really pissed off that this exists, there's no reason for it to, It's not even interesting. It's like some of the most boring fucking like dance music you've ever heard with Steve Earle on it. Tyler's interested now. Are you hooked?
I'm waiting for it to do the. I'm waiting for if
Are
it
you?
does that. Da, 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 da,
Are you?
da. If it does that, it's gonna go
It's gonna
hard.
go hard. Maybe Skrillex should do a version. No, he's not gonna give it to you, dude, because he sucks.
It sucks so much. I
He.
keep thinking about like, oh, I bet it's gonna do this and it's gonna go hard, and it
Yeah,
doesn't.
because like you could, it's like you want to think about yourself like ironically fucking getting down to this at a wedding or something like that, but it's
Yeah.
so bad you can't even do that.
I keep
Like,
getting like blueballed by like what I
yeah.
think is gonna be like a sick ass, like insane thing.
I can only think that I can only interpret this as this DJ Moti, who again I didn't know existed or before today, has chosen to deeply disrespect
I wish I could listen to
our,
this at 0.12 speed
oh my
or at
God,
1.2 speed.
our culture and our people. And that's why I'm declaring a fatwa. If anyone comes across, you know, this DJ, like hold him to account for what he's done to Copperhead Road. And if you get a chance to talk to Steve, like ask him why he went along with this. I'm genuinely curious to know, like, here's my question, point blank, Tyler.
Do you listen to the whole
Does,
thing?
no, I didn't make it to the end. Does it get
Okay. I'm
interesting? Can I just
not,
add?
can't say it has.
Okay. I made it most of the way through, but I did not listen to the whole thing. My genuine question for Steve would just be, do you think this is cool? I'm so curious, you know, like.
Okay.
Oh no, what's happening? Dude, no, he's. You fell for it again.
I felt pretty. I really thought they were gonna do the da 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 da.
No, I don't think he has that in his. Like, how could you not? It's right there. It's already in the song.
I have 15 seconds left, and it's
No,
not gonna do it.
he's not doing it. Like I said,
It was right there.
I would think an electronic cover of Copperhead Road would be dumb anyway, but he somehow made it 1,000 times less cooler than it could be. Like he,
Dog,
like you said, he didn't even
that
take,
honked.
he didn't even take the low hanging fruit. That's why to me it feels lazy. It felt like, did he agree to do this and then forget that he had and then just put it into fucking AI?
Dude, you're right. It does sound AI as fuck.
Like again, I'm not gonna try to pretend to be some connoisseur of electronic music, but like this is lazy as hell. There's nothing interesting in it. So yeah, I hate that this exists. I hate that when you go to Steve Earle's Spotify page, this is something you see on there. But if you are just morbidly curious or a glutton for punishment, check out the remix of Copperhead Road by Moti.
Would not listen again.
Yeah, it's a one-time listen, folks.
I wish it was funny.
I wish it's that's the thing. It's not cool nor funny. It's just
You watched me
infuriating.
get deflated like 3 times listening to
Yeah.
that thing.
And I knew, even though I couldn't hear it along with you, I knew exactly where you were and what you were waiting for. And I knew that it was just going to crush you again.
Was waiting for something to make me want to like start jumping.
Yeah, you want to do the fucking Jersey Shore fist pump
I
or
was
something.
trying.
Yeah.
I was
No.
getting ready for it and then it never hit.
Never hit, dude.
It's like
God.
if in Jersey Shore, do you remember when they explain beating up the beat?
Yes.
And you got to start at the ground.
Dude,
You got to
totally.
start at the it's that song started at the ground
And
and stayed
stayed
there.
at the ground.
Stayed at the ground.
Paulie from Jersey Shore would have made a much better remix
He
of
would
this
have
song.
crushed this. He would have
Yeah,
crushed this.
absolutely.
He would have understood the assignment. He'd have been
Absolutely.
like, "Oh hell, I got to use the
Yeah, like yeah, he would have
da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-
What a weird thing.
Yeah, that was tough. Not ideal. So you wanna wrap this shit up and talk about what
Let's,
we're gonna do next week or
yeah, let's
next episode?
next episode. So we've got two, what we think are going to be cool and interesting things coming up. Well, one, Tyler, you talk about the next episode.
Well, we've essentially, like Alexander, reached the end, and there's no worlds left to conquer until Steve makes some more land. Because we could talk about
So,
Alone again, but I just saw the damn tour,
yeah, I was about to
and
say until Steve does more electronic
yeah,
remixes,
and then we'll fucking
and
we'll run that shit. But we are going to talk about God, who fucking it's the fucker who directed the damn Dylan movie, and Logan. I can never remember this fucking director's name when I try to think about it.
The Walk the Line. Oh, James Mangold.
James Mangold, yeah.
Yeah.
James Mangold's Walk the Line, the Johnny Cash biopic in which his children weren't stoked on it, but I think they might have gotten it right.
Yeah, and much of which filmed in my hometown, Memphis, Tennessee.
But yeah, we're gonna watch that and talk about it. So if you want to listen to us talk about it and you have never seen the movie, you can watch it and
Yeah.
we'll talk about it. And if
And
you
it
haven't seen the movie in years, maybe watch it again.
right, crazy to think it's 20 years old.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so
Joaquin Phoenix still looks great.
he still looks great, man.
It's
Better
not
than
being a
ever.
Zionist.
That helps, man.
Really reassuring seeing that he signed on to that a list.
Yeah.
Sorry we got so heavy this episode constantly,
I
but
mean, it was gonna happen.
I hope you had fun too.
I hope you had fun too. And then we'll have another guest pretty soon after that. Just as a preview, our friend Aaron Dural, which if you don't know that name, learn it. He played with me in Perfect World. He played in a band from Joplin, Missouri called Flanders that did some really cool shit. And he just put out some solo country songs that are available on streaming. That I think are pretty cool. And I'm excited to get them in front of more people. But also, I'm just excited to talk to another person that shares this affinity with both hardcore and country music, even if he came to it, in ways that are a little bit different from me and Tyler. But we've got him tapped to be our next guest. So that'll be coming in a few weeks as well.
Do you want to talk about what records we're going to talk about? Just give people a heads up further ahead of time, or do you want to do it next time?
We can do it now.
Okay. Would you
So,
pick? Would you pick?
I don't remember. What did I pick?
Fuck,
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
remember either.
Like, I'm not the reason why I was saying,
You pick
like,
Whiskey Town.
I picked Whiskey Town Stranger's Almanac.
There it is.
That's going to be one of them.
I picked Tyler Childers' Bottles and Bibles.
And Aaron picked 1982's Straight from the Heart by George Strait. I think that's going to be a good collection of records to talk about.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun.
Hell
I've
yeah.
never listened to George Strait before.
Really?
I've been waiting for the opportunity for somebody to make me, and
Well, that
Aaron's doing
opportunity
that.
has come, my friend. Awesome. Well, friends, take care of each other. I hope you don't get disappeared. And if you do, don't tell them where we are. We love you. Be good to one another.
See you in Valhalla.
I'll take the watch now. See you in Valhalla, brother.